Hello.
Hello, this is Pat Dane with the Sheriff's Department. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Detective Dane. How are you doing?
I was telling you I might be calling.
I had called her this afternoon when I read the newspaper article.
Yeah.
And she did not, no, she didn't call me. I called her, so.
Okay.
But she said that you might be calling us, and I said, okay, that'll be fine.
Yeah, I was going to call you last night, but I got called away on another case, so
okay.
I couldn't get, sorry, so late. What I'd like to do is to talk to you without your husband being around, and then I would like to talk to him. Is he home too?
He's at work today, tonight.
Okay.
He's gone for 24 hours at a time, but he'll be home tomorrow, probably after 12:30 or 1.
Okay. Can you tell me what you saw, what you were doing yesterday at the stuffed pizza?
Sure. We had gone to a movie, and then we went afterwards. We're sitting at a table that was facing, it wasn't facing Moore Park, it was the side street there. Was
Brazil.
That Wilbur?
That's Brazil.
Or Brazil, okay. It was facing Brazil, and there were there was a truck parked across from the window on, you know, on the side there, and another car. And we were talking, and out of the corner of my eye, I just saw a body walking by, but I didn't look because I was looking at the gal that was, I was talking to. And my husband, who was sitting next to me, said to all of three of us, he said, what is that guy doing? Is he cutting an apple or something red? And so we all looked, and I said, I don't know what he's cutting, because he had his back to us, and he was bent down on his, he had his knees bent, and he wasn't sitting, but he was like, you know, stooping down,
mm-hmm.
and he looked like he was jabbing at his left hand,
mm-hmm.
from the back, you know, from the back side. All we saw was the back, and he looked like a younger person. And then he stood up and he held his left hand out in front of him and shook it,
mm-hmm.
and it was blood red and it was bleeding. And we said, and then we all went, oh my God, he's not, chopping at anything. He looks like he cut himself. And then he stooped down again and started jabbing at himself, and he was sort of faced halfway towards us this time, and we could see that he was stabbing. He had some small little instrument in his hand. I don't know what it was. I couldn't see that well. But it wasn't a big knife or anything. It was just something small, and he was jabbing and then gouging into his left hand and wrist area. And then he stood up again, and I looked at him, and he looked like he was about in his late teens. I wasn't sure. And I was so shocked to see that I didn't even notice what he was wearing. But all I said to my husband, I said, somebody call 911, and my husband said, our cell phone's in the car. Or I think he said something like that, and then the way he had his cell phone, and he dialed 911 immediately and said, there's somebody in the parking lot here. A kid looks like he's trying to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we were all just so shocked. And then I think my husband told somebody behind that there was somebody out here also. Because they came out, they kind of heard us get up, and I think I shouted a little bit. My husband told me to be quiet. He says, just sit down and relax. We called, you know. I kind of went into a little bit of shock. I've never seen anybody harming themselves like that. You know, you see movies and everything, but when you see the actual thing, you kind of go into a little shock. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so bad for the kid. I thought, my God, are things that bad that he's trying to kill himself out here? So anyway, then the manager or a gentleman came from behind the bar area where they were preparing food, and he walked outside and started to go towards the young man, and he saw him, but he wasn't yelling from stabbing. I was amazed that he could be hurting himself that much, and he wasn't yelling
mm-hmm.
or screaming or anything. He looked like he was kind of maybe doped up or, you know, on some type of drugs or something, that he was kind of in a daze. And he started walking away from the gentleman from the store, the manager, I guess he was.
Mm-hmm.
He started walking down the sidewalk, and then about 20 or 30 feet away on the end of the curb, he squatted down again and started jabbing himself in the left hand.
Still in the parking lot?
He was still in the parking lot, but okay. He was walking east, like towards the back of the parking lot to get away from the man.
Mm-hmm.
And then my husband and Gary started to go outside because we thought maybe he might try to harm the manager, the man that was walking towards him. I didn't hear what the man was, if he was saying anything to the young kid or not. I couldn't hear because it was outside. But stayed in the restaurant, and we just watched. And we watched as the kid, the second time, went down to stab himself again. And then he started walking. The manager started walking closer to him, and he got up and left the parking lot and crossed Brazil Street and started walking down into the bushes. And then after that, I never saw him. And that's all I saw.
Okay.
But I felt so bad. I felt like, you know, what do you do in that case?
Yeah.
You go out and ask him to stop doing that to himself. And my husband's a fireman, and he says he sees stuff like that a lot, and as you do, too.
They show up, yeah.
And he says there's nothing you can do to help a person like that. They have to take them, if they can catch him, if they can catch him before he harms someone else, or, they'll take care of it. So then Gary, Cheryl and I were outside. And the sheriff showed up, one of the sheriff's cars showed up with two sheriffs in it, and they talked to Gary, but not my husband and I,
mm-hmm.
or Cheryl. And I think they said for him to stay behind, they wanted to talk to him.
And, yeah, they were trying to gather up witnesses. And
yeah, and my husband said, well, since they saw the same thing we did, he didn't know if they wanted us to stay or not, because he didn't ask us to. So we left, and then that was the end of it, and then
that's why I'm calling you.
Yeah. Then when I read the article today, I called Cheryl because I wanted to find out what happened last night after we left, and she said that they were there. She was there with her husband for a little while longer until it was all over.
And, yeah, they stayed a while.
Yeah. And I thought, I said, did they want us to stay? We didn't know if they wanted us to stay or not. And then at that time was when she told me that they were, that the sheriff's department said they might call us last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, no one called. She goes, okay, well, she says, maybe they won't call you.
Yeah.
But that's all.
Is there anything else that happened that I should know about? Anything else peculiar that you saw or heard? Or?
Well, there wasn't anything peculiar, but there was, I think this was a completely unrelated thing. There was a woman in a like an SUV
mm-hmm.
who had broken down that was right outside the door. And Cheryl and I were trying, at the same time as we were waiting for the sheriff, we were trying to get the people to go around this car that the woman was, she was sitting in her car right there in the road, right before the end of the exit to the driveway there. And people were getting behind her and honking at her and everything, and she was waving them to go around. But that was something different. Her car had just broken down. And then, let's see, about a couple of blocks down in the parking lot there, the same parking lot, past Ross's, a fire truck came in, and we thought they were in answer to the 911 call,
mm-hmm.
but they were doing something else. And so we were going to run down there and tell them to come and try to find the kid, help the man. Because, see, the manager followed the kid, and then my husband said, I don't know if that's a good idea because he'll be alone.
Yes.
And he said, we should wait here for the sheriff to handle this and not, go and get. So Gary and my husband waited, and then I went over to the car.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think. There really wasn't anything else.
Yeah, it was really kind of simple. So.
Nothing inside the restaurant. Or
okay.
There were no other people around outside that we thought saw this kid. I think we were the first ones that saw him doing that
mm-hmm.
because we made, it was like a few minutes after we made the phone call before anyone showed up, so I don't think anyone else had made a call.
Okay. Can I go through this a little bit with you here real quick?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
So he's stooped down, he's looks like he's stabbing or gouging, he can't really see, then he holds his arm up, you see it's all bloody. Then he stoops down again. He's gouging his left wrist area. Gary calls 911. It says that the kid looks like he's committing suicide. Let's see, the manager goes outside. The kid walks east, he sits at the curb, and he's jabbing again, right?
Yes, and then okay.
He walked east?
Kind of north. Then he changed positions and went from the end of the parking lot. He went across the street.
Across the street.
I think it was in a northern area.
Yeah. Then in and out of your view.
Then I couldn't see him anymore.
Okay, how many times do you think he jabbed himself? Approximately.
Approximately three different times.
Okay, he jabbed himself three times, but how many times do you think he stabbed himself, did it look like, altogether?
Well, you know, he had his back to it. The very first time he had his back to us, and all we could see was his right hand going down towards something in his left hand. That's why my husband said, what is that guy doing, cutting an apple or something?
Yeah, how many times did you see him do that?
It was just... He just kept doing it, I don't know, I would say a dozen times. He just kept jabbing. And then he would get, well, maybe three or four times. And then he'd get, he'd stop jabbing and he would stick it in and twist. When we realized what he was doing, it was really, really upsetting because he was not just jabbing at himself, but he was sticking it in and twisting it like he was cutting seeds out of something.
Yeah.
That's why my husband thought it was fruit.
Yeah.
It was just, I mean, I can't believe that he didn't kill himself. He couldn't even kill himself with whatever he was using. And that's why my husband said, that whatever he's using is not, if he's trying to commit suicide, he's not doing a very good job because he's not using a big enough instrument. And, but yet we couldn't see what it was because when he stood up, all we were looking at was his left hand, and which was all bloodied. And I think he had a jacket on or a long sleeve shirt, because all I remember seeing was his left hand, and he would turn towards us at the window, but I don't think he could see us. He was just looking around and shaking his hand, you know, like you shake water off of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband said it looked like he was trying to make the blood come out faster or something.
Jeez.
He did that, let's see, one time, then he stood up, shook his hand, went down again, and continued to jab and do all that, and that's when Gary got up. As soon as we saw the red bloody hand, we realized that he wasn't holding anything and that he was hurting himself. That's when Gary stood up and turned on his cell phone and made the call. And then the third time he started jabbing himself was when he walked away from the manager as the manager was coming out towards him. He started walking away, and he went about 30 feet down the sidewalk in an east way, and went down again and kept jabbing himself. And then the manager got closer to him, so he stood up and walked away. He wasn't running or anything. I mean, he looked like he was kind of weak already, you know, or drugs. That's why my husband thought he was on drugs, because he wasn't screaming or yelling or running or doing anything. It was just in a daze.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to thank you. Can I get some personal information from you?
Sure, sure.
Okay, do you have... That was an interview with April 9th, beginning of conversation, approximately 20:10 hours.